Good morning, everybody. Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is entitled Pekudi, which means accounts, and it covers Exodus chapter 38, verse 21, and goes to chapter 40, verse 38, which is also which also concludes the book of Exodus. This short parasha begins as Moses receives the materials that are going to be used for the construction of the tabernacle. Adonai was very specific when he gave Moses instructions concerning the tabernacle. There was a design and a purpose to this structure. And as we'll soon see, the tabernacle is abundant in symbolism that points to Yeshua as the Messiah. Moses erected the tabernacle and then he anointed it with the holy anointing oil. He then initiated Aaron and his four sons into the priesthood. When the tabernacle was dedicated, a cloud and the Shekinah glory of Adonai appeared over the tabernacle, signifying to Israel that the divine presence had come to dwell in their midst. By day, there was a cloud above the tabernacle, and by night, there was fire. When the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they knew it was time to break camp and travel to wherever the Lord led them. If the cloud wasn't taken up, they would remain encamped, and this is actually where our scripture ends. Now, I believe that through the items and the materials used in the construction of the tabernacle, God was giving the Jewish people of the past, present, and future symbolic hints of greater things to come, especially Messiah Yeshua. Now, allow me to share a few examples tracing the path that the high priest would take through the tabernacle. He would first come to the outer fence. And the outer fence of the tabernacle was white, which symbolizes purity or being without sin. But more importantly, there was only one entrance into the tabernacle. Yeshua said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Yeshua also said, "Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." Yeshua's words clearly depict one exclusive entrance into salvation, just as there was one exclusive entrance into the tabernacle. From its only entrance on the east, the high priest would first come to the outer court, and this was where animal sacrifices were offered on the altar of burnt offerings. Hebrews chapter 9:22 explains that the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. At the entrance of the veil of the tabernacle, at the entrance of the tabernacle was the first veil. And the word veil in Hebrew means to separate, and that's exactly what the veils did. They acted as a barrier between a holy God and sinful men. The book of Romans, the 11th chapter, assures us that in the fullness of time, Adonai will remove the spiritual veil from the eyes of Israel, allowing them to recognize their Messiah. Next, the high priest would wash in the bronze wash basin that was made from the mirrors contributed by the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And this ensured that the priest was ritually pure before serving the Lord at the holy temple. And this represents our being cleansed by Yeshua's righteousness, the water symbolizing baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, and the washing of the Word of God. It may also parallel Yeshua when he washed the feet of his disciples at the last Passover Seder. As Yeshua made his way around the table, Simon Peter, or Kepha, initially refused, to which Yeshua responded with this sobering admonition. He said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And it's a reminder that we have no part in our own salvation, other than to humbly submit to the finished work of Yeshua, to which we can add absolutely nothing. The last veil that separated the priest from the innermost chamber, known as the Most Holy of Holy Place, or there was a veil that separated the priest from the innermost chamber known as the Holy Place, and this was the last veil. To step beyond this curtain was certain death, because on the other side sat the Ark of the Covenant over which the presence of God was manifested. Now, this veil's size has been estimated at roughly 30 feet long by 30 feet wide and perhaps 4 inches thick, made from linen and yarn. It's been claimed that the fabric of the veil was so thick that not even two horses could pull it apart. And yet, it was this curtain that was ripped from top to bottom when Yeshua died on the cross. Now we too can come into the presence of the Holy Three-in-One God with Yeshua as our high priest and mediator. Entering into the holy place, the priest would find three items of furniture. First was the golden lampstand, representing both Yeshua, the light of the world, and the Holy Spirit. Next was the bread of presence, representing Yeshua, who is the bread of life and nourishes us spiritually. And last, the golden altar of incense, which symbolizes the prayers of the saints coming before the presence of God. Also in there was the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God dwelt. And the Ark of the Covenant was a box of acacia wood overlaid with pure gold. Man's lifespan is limited, and like wood, it decays, and man is also corruptible. Yeshua, who is incorruptible and pure like refined gold, covers us and gives us eternal life. The Ark presents a terrific picture of Yeshua, who was fully man, represented by the wood, yet also fully God, represented by the gold. So in conclusion, Israel was given a glimpse into the future. Through the tabernacle's construction and its symbolism, they could understand their need of redemption, and they could anticipate the Messiah who was prophesied to one day come. As present-day Christians and Messianic Jews, we can look back and we can clearly see that Yeshua was this promised Messiah. And I look forward to the day when, according to God's word, the veil will be removed from the eyes of the Jewish peoples. To paraphrase Rabbi Paul, if Israel's rejection brought salvation to the Gentiles, how much more will the earth be blessed when they receive Yeshua as their true Messiah? I look forward to that day, and I hope you do too. May Adonai bless you all. Shabbat shalom.